This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. While we don't yet know what's going to happen with PacWest and some of the other regional banks that are in trouble, we do know that the biggest bank in this economy has gotten bigger with its takeover of First Republic. JPMorgan Chase, of course, is the bank. But we are not going to talk about the company, though we're going to talk about the guy running it, CEO Jamie Dimon, and the power he now has in this economy. Emily Flitter wrote about that the other day for the New York Times. Emily, it's good to have you with us.
It's great to be here.
You point out in this piece that financial historians say that not since J.P. Morgan himself, the actual guy, has a single businessman had such sway over this economy. Frame that for us historically, would you? And then I want to talk about how it came to be.
So basically, it's been 100 years plus since one guy had the power to step in and use his institution to calm things down. There are so many reasons why it's been 100 years since then, and it's not exactly the same. It's not like Jamie Dimon has, dictatorial control over this situation the way John Pierpont Morgan Sr. did, but there are some incredible similarities.
It's worth pointing out here that Janet Yellen, Secretary of the Treasury, when First Republic first started to have problems after SVB and we were looking for sort of the next domino, Secretary Yellen called Jamie Dimon personally. I mean, I think he was her first call.
Right. I mean, think about it this way. You know, you have these giant banks. You have Citigroup, you have Wells Fargo, you have Bank of America, and you have J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan is the biggest. And look at Wells Fargo. They have had too many problems and they have done too many bad things recently to have authority. Citigroup, too, has had a lot of issues that they're trying to deal with internally. Among other things, they accidentally sent $900 million to the wrong recipient just a few years ago. And J.P. Morgan has had, you know, some ups and downs, but nothing that makes them look like wrong-footed or like they don't have a handle on their operations like the other banks, and that's has begun to count for something.
It's interesting you pointed out in this piece, and I had kind of forgotten that in 2008 Jamie Dimon had only been in that job at J.P. Morgan for 2 years, and now here he is, kind of the last CEO, the last big bank CEO standing from that financial crisis. I wonder how much of his authority, right? Because that's what he has. When the Treasury Secretary calls you, you got some oomph. How much of that is just longevity?
A lot of it's longevity, but, you know, it is hard to hang on to the bank CEO job these days. Yeah. And that, so his longevity counts for something. And you look at Bank of America, Brian Moynihan's been in there for a really long time, but he is post-crisis and Dimon is pre-crisis. And Bank of America had to really pick itself back up, and J.P. Morgan didn't. I mean, during the crisis, Dimon was very vocal in repeating that J.P. Morgan didn't need help, and that he was basically forced to take TARP, which was the bailout program that the government put together for all of the banks. Basically, he was forced to take it just to make the other banks look less bad. He never let anybody forget that, and he's been capitalizing on that.
Let me get you back to where we started and that idea that Jamie Dimon is now, for the first time since, you know, 1907 and John Pierpont Morgan himself, he is the business executive with the most amount of power in this economy. Should we be worried?
We are, have seen an incredible increase in the power that big companies have. You know, I was also curious to know why no other bankers sort of popped up as leaders the way Dimon has over the last 100 years. So I went back and looked, and from the 1930s to the 90s when we had the savings and loan crisis, we actually didn't have bank runs. So we actually didn't kind of need to have like a public adult in the room from Wall Street. That is sort of part of it. But the other part is the banking industry has benefited from big changes in regulations starting in the 1990s when a new law allowed banks to open branches in other states for the first time. You really saw the industry start to grow from that and consolidate. Then the repeal of Glass-Steagall, which was the big separation between investment banking and commercial banking. That created these absolute giants. It really says something like these banks are now really intertwined in the stability of our global economy. Yeah, it is a little scary.
Emily Flitter covers finance at the New York Times, writing most recently about Jamie Dimon and the bank that he runs. Emily, thanks a lot. I appreciate your time and your expertise.
Thank you, Kai.